for those of you who've been here a long time who don't know what the word sadhu means, the best English translation is awesome. So when you say sadhu, sadhu means awesome, awesome, awesome. That's pretty accurate.
Thank you.
Okay, so now meditation. That's an easy thing to do. Just sit down, close your eyes, shut up and be quiet. Sounds easy, but we just don't know how to relax. So meditation is not about concentration. It's not a concentration camp. It's not like going to school again. Sorry, you got a giggle. Sorry? Yeah, it's not a concentration camp. It's a relaxation. It's more like a spa than going to school again. That's why the old joke, what do we really call this? What's the nickname of this group? It is Club Med Armadale. Club Med is like a place you go on holiday, relax, makes yourself nice and comfortable. So when you look at meditation like relaxation, people find it hard to relax their mind. So we start with relaxing our body. And once you relax your body, you can use exactly the same skills to relax your mind. It becomes quite simple. So how do you relax your body? What we do, we close our eyes. The reason we close our eyes in meditation, it means you can become far more sensitive to your body. Basically, you're not distracted by seeing stuff. So close your eyes, you can feel your body. And once you get into contact with your body, we call that awareness, mindfulness of how you feel. And it's natural at first. If you've got an itchy nose, you scratch it. If you feel you've got a sore bottom, you move it. And when you've moved your body or scratched your nose, your awareness gives you the feedback that the nose isn't itchy anymore. The bottom isn't sore. It has relaxed. So the awareness of the body allows you to have what we call feedback. You understand what makes the body more relaxed, what makes it more irritating, tense or painful. So we do the coarse form of relaxation first of all, just to get yourself nice and comfortable. And once you're reasonably comfortable sitting down, you don't stop there. You keep your awareness on your body. How can I make it even more comfortable? So, you know, you make the minor adjustments, you know, with your feet. Sometimes these chairs are the same for everybody. Some are tall, some are short. So you can see that Rachel puts cushions under her feet just to raise her legs to make it more comfortable. Or if you're very tall, you put the cushions under your bottom so you're higher. So you just start to find out what is most comfortable for you. So there is no magic position for meditation, which is the same for everybody. You find your best position, and it can change every time. So once you've found that best position, mindfulness tells you, oh, this is comfortable, I can make it more comfortable moving this, scratching that, coughing, sneezing, whatever it is. And then you carry on to the deeper stage of relaxation, which is the one I really like the most. Because then your body can't be more relaxed through moving, but you may be able to find some ache or pain in your body somewhere. You may have irritable bowel syndrome. You may have some pain in your shoulders or in your knees. So what you do now is, say you've got some pain in your knees for some reason or another. You put your attention on that pain in the knee. You're mindful of it. And as you keep watching it for a few seconds, you will notice sometimes that pain gets less, sometimes it gets more. Why? You see it less pain, less pain, more pain, more pain. Why? And soon you make the connection, it's the attitude of your mind. If you're afraid, if you want to try and control it, if you're negative to it, you find you tense up and the ache, the pain gets worse. And you'll notice that it will get less irritating, less painful, if you let go, relax, just be kind, let it be. And you realize that that makes the pain less intense. So you keep on going, so letting be your mindfulness giving you feedback, it becomes less intense, less painful, less painful, less painful, until you can relax it almost totally away. I've been teaching that for a long time, that it's great to overcome any ache or pain in the body. Just about a month ago, someone sent an email to our president saying that she had, and this, you can't say this happens all the time, but this was a wonderful case, elderly lady, she had chronic arthritis, having all these very, very strong medications. She was a European. And still all the strong medications weren't working. And still in pain and still debilitated, couldn't do very much. And so after a while, she got online, followed this little meditation, and she wrote me this lovely email, arthritis gone, no more medication needed, and I got my life back again. Exactly the thing. She really got into it because she had to be aware. What makes that pain, the arthritis, worse? What makes it less painful? And to use this wonderful feedback to learn how to relax all the bones and muscles and all the other stuff around there. So everything could relax, 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 relax. Because a lot of time when you have pain, you tend to tense up around it and it makes it worse. So you learn how to relax, 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 relax. Until your body, the aches and pains, feel so loose. One of the other reasons is you can imagine just, oh, this is my robe. If I keep stretching it like this, of course it's going to get very painful. That's called stress. That's tension. How do I overcome the tension in my body? Let go. Let go of both ends. Because sometimes it feels like you're pulling at something inside of your body. Or you're squashing it. You're putting pressure on it. Take away the pressure. Loosen up. And then you find the body actually relaxes. You find yourself getting more and more relaxed physically. And the reason is because you're doing this wonderful mental attitude of letting it be. Stop putting pressure, stop stressing, straining things. Just leave it alone. Let it be natural. And as you go through this, I'll be guiding you through this, so you don't need to remember anything. After a while, the body gets really relaxed. And in fact, you probably get more relaxed here, if you follow the instructions, than you would if you did go to a spa and spend all that money. Or you could go to Bali and just go and sort of sit on a sort of a beach. You get quite relaxed when you go onto the beach in Bali. It's only when you get the bill from the hotel afterwards that you get all the tension back again. But this is actually, you can relax here in Armidale, deeper than on a beach in Bali. Oh, what lovely thing. You don't have to wait for all that going through the airports and being delayed because some volcano has erupted somewhere in Jakarta or something. You're totally free because we don't have volcanoes here in Armidale, do we? We've got Mount Usura just around the corner here, but I don't think that's active. But anyway, here we can just really relax our body. Now when you do get relaxed, the mindfulness can actually say, yeah, it's relaxed. Let go a bit more, you get more relaxed, tense up, you find it's more painful. You learn from that feedback how to really relax your body very, very deeply. Number one, that feels good. You feel what I call like the pleasure of relaxation. It feels very delightful. Similar to maybe you've just woken up on a Sunday morning, you don't have to go to work, and you don't have to go to the toilet, so you're really relaxed and you're cozy in bed. You don't want to go anywhere. Your body's totally open, relaxed, no aches, no pains. That same feeling is very delightful. This is what you do here, sitting down in this meditation. You just relax your body so much, it actually feels pleasurable. And in this meditation training, I want you to experience that delight, that pleasure of relaxation. Because you'll find that will take the relaxation even deeper. The body realizes this is fun and goes further. You don't do it, the body does that itself. You get really, really relaxed. And number one, this is where you get great health benefits, great sort of everything benefits, because the body relaxes, has a chance to heal itself. A lot of times people get really sick because they don't know how to relax. They're always so tense and frightened. So here we're just totally relaxed bodily. And once the body is nice and relaxed, then we go to the next level, which is relaxing our mind. Now, one of the reasons we've got all these worries and concerns, all these fears and anger from the past, revenge and goodness knows what else, we think so much. The reason is because our mind isn't relaxed. But just the same way that the aches and pains in the body come from the body not being relaxed, all the thoughts and worries in your mind all come from your mind not being relaxed. When your mind is really relaxed, you tend not to have any thoughts. You're just enjoying the peace, the delight of a totally relaxed mind with no pressure on it. No pressure to have to solve some problems. Nothing, no bad memories stretching you into the past, like they're pulling you back. None of these, I have to do this, I have to figure this out, I have to plan all this. All that pressure on your poor old brain is taken off because your mind is nicely relaxed. So how you do that? Once your body is relaxed, then just the same way you're mindful of your body, yeah, you're mindful of how your mind is. In particular, how peaceful is the mind or how tense is it? How still or how agitated? So you've got to be mindful of the right things. Focus on the right quality. Just like coming up here that we had to drive and Drew couldn't find the cruise control. Because, you know, didn't know the right button to look at. But once you find the right button, then you can actually do the cruise control. You can drive much more easily. Same way, if you know the right way, the cruise control of your mind, and you press that button, and then you can really relax, and the car drives itself. Now this is like the cruise control of the mind. You find that little button there. How agitated the mind or how still it is. So right now, can you sort of understand what I mean? How peaceful are you or how agitated are you? You can see that. And once you're mindful of that, you will notice, just like your body, sometimes it's more agitated, sometimes more at peace. Why? And you can see that when you start to worry about things, force things, try and do something, get things done, or try and get rid of stuff, it gets more tense. When you learn how just to let it be, relax, let go, take all the pressure off, there's nothing you need to do, you're good enough, you don't have to try and improve yourself. That's why I really do not like self-improvement classes. I think that's really, really arrogant. And I said, what's wrong with you guys? There's nothing wrong with you. You don't have to improve. This is who you are. Take it or leave it. I'm not going to improve just to please other people. So please don't try and improve yourself. Just, you're good enough as you are. So, don't try and improve yourself in meditation. Just let yourself be. Take the pressure off. Take all the force away from your mind. And then it relaxes. And you feel the mind becoming more peaceful. It's not so tense. You're not trying to get somewhere or achieve things like you have to do in school and in life. There's so much you have to get done these days. But in meditation, this is relaxing time. And then you find your mind starts to become more peaceful, more calm. You can actually feel that. The mindfulness gives you feedback. Become more peaceful, more calm. And you keep on going until you get as peaceful as you possibly can. That's what you're aware of. Forget about the thoughts. You know, they're there, but you're not sort of really focusing on them. They're in the background. What you're really focusing on is how peaceful is your mind, and how you can make it really, really peaceful. Because once the mind starts to get very peaceful, all the thoughts tend to just disappear. And they're not there anymore. And all the worries about the past or the future, all your problems with your health, with your marriage, with your kids, with your parents, with your finances, with the world, with the galaxy, all those problems tend to totally vanish. Because they're only just waves on the surface of a lake which has been agitated. When the lake is calm, the waves die out. So you're peaceful. And once your mind does get that relaxed, it feels delightful, just like when your body's relaxed. It feels so delightful. And your mind is now delightful. And when your mind gets that delightful, it gets even more peaceful. Just enjoy sitting here, relaxed, at peace, no worries in the world, nothing to bother you at all, just being here, enjoying freedom from all the past and the future, and all the busyness. You're getting away from it all, going on a real holiday, which is why this is Club Med. So simple. So now we can actually do it. Any questions? No? Good. Thank you. So now we're going to do a bit of meditation. I'm going to be guiding you. So first of all, for those who have been coming early, let's do the standing up and stretching. Because many of you are old like me. Very good. I want you stretched. Then you can go and sit down. I'll sit down over here, my usual place.
Hi. You're lucky you get all the energy you took. Very good, are you as well? Very good, so here we go. So there's the lights. So, close your eyes. With your eyes closed, you can start to become aware of how you're sitting on your chair, or like me, on the floor. How are your legs now? It's amazing, if you ask a question like that, you get an answer. My legs need to be adjusted, so adjust them. Really put a lot of care into getting the best position. So you move them, is that better or is it worse? That's called mindfulness. You're being aware of the change in how your body feels. And your bottom, your poor bottom has to take a lot of weight, especially if you're my size. So I've got to really look after my bottom. So fidget it on the seat or on the cushion to make it just as comfortable as you can. Move it this way and that way. Does it make it better? Does it make it worse? Mindfulness and feedback again. And your back, you can stretch it or loosen it, move it forward, move it backwards. You find the most comfortable position. Don't assume that the one you have now is the most comfortable. Move it a little bit. Find out. Adjusting it. It's very much like you have a camera, there's old-fashioned cameras, and you actually adjust the lens. Move it this way and that way till you get the sharpest image. Because you're looking, and your vision gives you feedback. This here, you're feeling. And your feeling is giving you feedback. If your back is becoming more comfortable or more tight. And your shoulders, people have so much tension in their shoulders. But can you feel the sensations in your shoulders? Try moving them this way, that way, until you can feel the most comfortable position of your shoulders. You are becoming aware of your body, which is amazing just how many people are almost totally unaware of how the body is feeling. If you've ever done any dancing, you just know just how you really have to be so aware of your bodily movements to be able to flow in the dance. And then your arms and hands, are they comfortable? One of the reasons why people fidget their hands is because they haven't found the most comfortable position for them. And lastly, the head on top of the shoulders. You move it to the left, to the right, backwards and forwards until you find the optimum position for your own head. And don't forget about the muscles around the eyes and the mouth. they give you a good indication of if you are tense or if you are relaxed. Muscles just all loose. So you're letting go of any tensions. You're not pulling and pushing and squashing. You're letting everything become loose and natural. Now you can feel your whole body starting to relax. But even though that you've got as relaxed as you can through movement, there's always some part of your body inside. It can be just a stomach ache, or it can be just like a backache, or somebody aches, headaches, itchy throat. Now be aware of the most irritating part of your own body right now. Be mindful, just know that feeling. Don't judge it, just know the most irritating part of your body. And see if you can notice how the intensity of that irritation or pain sometimes increases, sometimes decreases. See if you can notice, make the connection, that if your mind, if your attitude is one of letting go, letting it be, being kind, being gentle. It's like if you're, when you were a kid, your mother would smile at you when you were sick or stroke your hair, and your pain would get less. You'd relax. See if you can do the same to the most irritating part of your body right now. And the mindfulness giving you feedback might notice the pain get less, the irritation ease off. You've found the secret of relaxing inner parts of your body. Even if you've got a pain in the liver or kidney, you can even relax that away. A tumor in the breast, a allergy in the sinuses. It's amazing what you can do by being aware of these irritations. So the feedback given by mindfulness, learn how to relax and relax and relax until the feeling disappears. So what you're aware of, what you're watching, what you're focusing on is your own body. And the purpose is to relax your body as deep as you can. If it gets tight and tense, understand why. If it relaxes, know why. This is how we learn. Feedback given by awareness. Mindfulness of your body. And once the most irritating part of your body has been relaxed, go to another part which is also tight, tense, hurting, painful. See if you can relax that too. Go to one part, one small section of the body at a time until it relaxes, and then you go to the next. starts to relax, it feels really pleasant. And intuitively you'll know this is very healthy for your body. Keep your awareness on the feelings in your body. How irritating or how at ease it is. So your whole body is just so relaxed. Like nothing is being squashed anymore. Nothing has got like these two people on either end pulling at it. Everything is loose, let go. Natural. Body feels good. Enjoy that for another couple of minutes. Once our body is relaxed, now we can do the same to our mind. Just look at your inner world, a world of emotions and thoughts and past and future. First of all, just see if you can understand just how relaxed it is, or how tense and tired it is. How at peace is your own mind? Once you're mindful of the right thing, the right quality, you will notice that peace or that irritation sometimes gets worse, sometimes gets better. Why? For example, you can hear a sound outside and you tense up with negativity. And you lose your peace. They can just accept it, let it be, none of your business. And your mind gets even more peaceful. It's not the sound outside which disturbs you, it's our reaction. The same letting go, the same kindness, the same taking away the pressure and the pulling and the pushing of your own mental world. The same thing which worked on your body works on your mind. So relax it, make it peaceful. Please don't worry about becoming sleepy. Many of you have got sleep deficit, you're tired. Let the thing be natural. Gives you feedback. As you learn mind is like a lake. When the lake becomes still and peaceful, the waves become just like little ripples, and from ripples there's no waves at all. See if you can keep your mind so still, so peaceful, so relaxed, that all these thoughts which worry you just fade away. Find your mind loses its peace. You'll notice it's because you react. Just let it be. The mind relaxes deeper and deeper. Notice you lose much of your perceptions of past and future. They tend just to fall off the radar. And all you know is just what's happening now. And the mind becomes peaceful and relaxed. You don't need the past and future anymore. You're free. Happy to be here. Relax. our main object. Peace, relaxation. See how it gets deeper. See how it gets lost. Some of you like to watch your breathing at this stage. If you do, just watch the breath coming, breathing in peace, breathing out, let go. As you take the in breath, just imagine peace. What peace means to you. Imagine it coming into your body and mind. As you breathe out, any negativity, pain, problems, breathe it out with the out-breath. Bringing in peace. And breathing out, let go. Not just the words, but their meaning. Emotional turmoil relaxes with it. All the stress, the fear, you find you have peace. Be mindful of how peaceful you are. See how you can make that peace even more deep. understand what worked and what didn't. At the end of every meditation, you can have a little bit of reflection. What do you learn? So now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. Please listen to every sound of the gong. When the last sound starts to vanish, that's the signal to open your eyes. When the third ringing of the gong starts to vanish.
If you don't move like that forever, they usually take you to the undertaker. That happened. Anyway, nice meditation. Now you should have the Q&A time. Are there any questions in the box today? Uh-oh. Big trouble. Okay. You're not collecting them, are you?
No, look, I'm just opening
it.
I'm sitting on the
benign. Sitting on the literally. Sorry, I'm only joking. Okay, the first question. Can you please tell us about the monkeys that peel bananas upside down? Okay, I gave a whole talk about Buddhism and bananas. Yes, very good. Well, I give so many talks, you always have to give a new talk. So I started off by saying that if you get a banana, how do you peel it? Usually, we peel it from the opposite end, from the stalk. We break the stalk and peel it off. That's really difficult. But if you look at monkeys in the jungle, they peel bananas from the opposite end, from the where the flower was, not the stalk. And you will find that that's far easier to peel a banana at that end than the other end. And what's the reason for that? It's because you've followed other stupid human beings. Because now maybe your mother or father, when you were a kid, peeled it from that end, and you just do the same without thinking. But really, when you look at it with reason and with intelligence, who are the experts on bananas? Monkeys are. So don't follow just these other Jojos. Follow the experts, the monkeys. They know how to peel a banana. And when it comes to meditation, who are the experts? Not the monkeys, but the monks. So follow the experts. And we know how to meditate. Not only do we know how to meditate, we spent a whole life doing that. But we're also the, what my predecessor used to say, the cheapest and the best. Because just because we don't charge anything at Armadale, don't think that we're low quality. That's usually in the world. But it's a cheap place, like, this is not Red Dot Meditation. This is like the Gucci, the Versace of meditation. This is really, is that a good thing to say? But it's the highest quality of all. There was Cartier, that's very good, the Cartier of meditation. I don't go to shops, so what do I know? But anyway, the
I don't go to those shops.
Yeah, anyway, whatever. But there was one, one lady used to rang up once and said, I hear you teach meditation. I said, yeah, I do. I go around the whole world teaching meditation. She asked, how much do you charge? I said, nothing. And she replied, well, you can't be any good then. And I got the phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because people in the world think, if you're good, you have to charge. So I never say that anymore. If the people ring up and say, how much do you charge? I never say it's for free. I say it is priceless. Priceless. It's true. That's another way, just the same word, but just a bit of a spin. So, the other one about bananas. There's a few people Sri Lankans here, I believe, today. So this is another lovely story about in a temple in Sri Lanka, long time ago. Actually, not that long ago. There was a monkey went to the temple on one of the holy days in Buddhism. Because if ever you go to even our temples on a big festival day, there's hundreds of people there and lots of food. And so the monkey went there hoping that somebody might drop a banana or a mango somewhere and that would be the monkey's lunch. So the monkey was waiting for someone to leave some food unattended so he could steal it. And he was waiting. And that's when he heard the monk give a talk. And the monkey was giving a talk saying that if you're going to be meditating and be nice and peaceful and relaxed, you have to overcome what they call the monkey mind. Have you heard the monkey mind before? That's why we keep thinking about all over the place, which runs all over the place. That's like a monkey swinging through the trees and branches in a forest. So he heard the Buddhist monk say, you have to get rid of the monkey mind. And this was a monkey hearing this. He said, what's wrong with monkey minds? Monkey minds are fine, thank you very much. You human beings, you've got no respect for the nature around you. Monkey minds are fine. I'm not going to stand for this. This is
discrimination.
Yes, stereotyping. And so this monkey wanted to go and find a lawyer somewhere and to sue this monk for demeaning and disparaging the monkey mind. So first of all, he went back into the jungle to tell all his friends. The whole troop of monkeys came out and said, you realize what these human beings are saying about us, that we're monkeys, monkey minds? We can't stand for that. We've got to do something. And all the other monkeys started getting very upset. Yeah, we're not standing for this. We're going to go and see the World Wildlife Fund. We're going to go to the UN. We're going to take this to the highest level. And this is today's world, the 21st century. You can't discriminate a person because of their sex or their gender or their species. You can't do this anymore. And they're all jumping up and down when the old monkey said, guys, that is what a monkey mind is. Jumping up and down, complaining all the time. And all the monkeys said, oh, crikey, you're right. We're monkeys and we've got monkey minds. Where can we ever find any peace? And then one of the monkeys said, well, I heard this monk over in the monastery said that you've got to meditate to overcome the monkey mind. So all the monkeys started jumping out, yeah, let's meditate. Yeah, we're going to meditate. And then the monkey, head monkey said, well, that's not how to meditate, jumping up and down, saying you're going to do it. And they asked him, how do you meditate then? Well, you sit down on a nice chair or a cushion. So the cushions, you know these cushions which people like to have? So all the monkeys first of all went into the forest and gathered some leaves and some grass and made a little cushion for themselves. Now what do we do? And now we sit down, in Sri Lanka, go sit down cross-legged, the right leg over the left leg, the right hand over the left hand, the thumb slightly touching, your back straight, close your eyes and watch your breath. So all these monkeys put their right leg over their left leg, their right paw over their left paw, they straighten their backs, they close their eyes. And for the first time ever in Sri Lanka, the monkeys were meditating. The forest had never been so silent. For about 30 seconds. And then one monkey opened his eyes, put his hand up, said, excuse me, I've been thinking. That, remember, for lunch, we were going to go to the banana plantation and steal the bananas for lunch. I've been thinking about that. So, why don't we get that done first of all? Get that out of the way. and then we can actually go and meditate. Because if I get it all done first of all, then I won't have to worry about it, won't have to think about it. And all the other monks, yeah, good idea. So they all got off their seats, went to the plantation, stole many monkeys. It wasn't lunchtime yet, they just stole the monkeys, put it in a big pile in the middle of the clearing, and they went back onto the meditation cushion and started meditating again. They put their right leg over the left leg, their right paw over the left paw, back straight, heads down, closed their eyes and started meditating. It was quiet again. "Excuse me," said another monkey, "I've been thinking. No, before lunch, before we eat those bananas, we've got to peel them. So let's peel them first of all, let's get that out of the way so we don't have to think about it." And now the monkey said, "Great idea, great idea." So they all got up and they all peeled all the bananas. Didn't eat anything yet, not lunchtime yet. Peeled all the bananas, and then they went back, having got that all out of the way. And then they sat down, right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw, back straight, heads down, eyes closed, meditating. "Excuse me," said another monkey, "I've been thinking. I know it's not lunchtime yet, but before we eat those bananas, we have to put them in our mouth. So let's put them in our mouth first of all. Won't eat them, just put them in our mouth, and then I don't have to think about it." And all the other monks, "Yeah, good idea." So they all got up, put a banana in their mouth. So a couple of monkeys, you know what monkeys are like, put two in their mouth. One put three in their mouth, a really greedy monkey. And once they got the monkeys, the bananas in their mouth, then they all sat down on their meditation cushions, right leg over the left leg, right paw over the left paw, and they closed their eyes. And of course, as soon as all the monkeys had closed their eyes, you know what happened next. They ate all those bananas, and that was the end of their meditation. And that's what a monkey mind means. I'll get this out of the way first of all, and then I'll take a rest. Then I'll find some peace. Once I've got it out of the way first of all. That's a monkey mind. So, that's one of the reasons why. In a place like Australia, where is the only place you find people resting in peace? It's too late by that time. So rest in peace before you're dead, so you can enjoy it. So we don't, you get peace out of the way first of all, and then we can do other stuff. That's the reason of the monkey mind, and that's that banana story. So that's a couple of banana stories over there. So, hope that's what you wanted. Is it right to think that the lives we live are not our own stories, but that we are more like a single line in other people's stories, or in the story of the world? That way we can better see how we can help someone else's story along. Or is this view flawed? It depends what story you're in. Is it a horror story? Is it a romance? Or is it an inspiring story of peace and fulfillment and happiness? In other words, is it a story which has a happy end, or a miserable end, or even better, don't wait for the now, for the end, a happy now? So I like the stories which have not a happy ending or an unhappy ending, which have a happy in the middle, where I am right now. So those are the best stories, because sometimes people are always waiting for the end of the story, thinking that once the love of your life appears, then you'll be happy ever after. Like Prince Charming and Cinderella riding off into the sunset. And no one ever knows what happens at the end of the sunset. They've got to get dinner, after dinner they have to do the washing up, and after the washing up pay the bill at the restaurant. Oh gosh, they never have that in the movies. So, I like to see the middle of the story. As long as you're enjoying the book, it doesn't really matter if it has a happy ending or not. Is it happy reading right now? And so your life is always work in progress. In fact, your life never really has an ending to it, does it? It's always work in progress. And that's one of my other great stories, which I really like. There was a man, and he was being chased by a tiger in the jungle. Now, there's two things you have to know about tigers. Number one, they eat you. They look at you as dinner. They look at you like steak at Sizzlers. They look at you. They're not chicks, Jake. Okay. Well, this is Armadale. This is low socio-economic area. And I'm supporting local businesses up in Kelscott, okay? Give me a break. Okay, McDonald's? Hungry Jacks? Okay, whatever, anyway. Okay, what about Subway? Subway? Is that fast? Well, anyway, I'm getting lost here anyway. So, tigers like you. They want to eat you, okay? They're not vegans, tigers. So, chasing after you, that's the first thing you have to know. They want to eat you. And number two, the tigers can run much faster than you can. So if a tiger's chasing you, you're in big trouble. So this guy was running for his life, the tiger was catching up on him, and out of desperation, he saw a well in the middle of the jungle. Without thinking, he just had no choice. He jumped into that well. And as soon as he jumped in without consideration, he realized he'd made a big mistake. He could see that there was no water in the bottom of that well, it was dry. And instead, in the bottom of the well, was a big black snake. Big problem. So, intuitively, he reached to the side of the well, he caught hold of a root, and the root broke his fall. And there he was, hanging on to the root. And the snake had woken up and had lifted his hood right at the man's feet. But his feet were just too high. The snake couldn't quite catch him. Almost, the snake was stretching as much as he could, but couldn't quite catch the feet. And the tiger hadn't given up. The tiger was leaning over the well, trying to paw him with his sharp paws, and his hand was just too low. The tiger couldn't quite reach him, really close but not quite, and the tiger was stretching into the well trying to get the guy. So there he was, between a tiger and a deadly snake. And then, when he was thinking what to do next, he saw two mice come out from a hole in the well. A black mouse and a white mouse. And they started chewing at his root, making it thinner and thinner and thinner. And the next thing he noticed, it's only just a matter of minutes or something until it got so thin it wouldn't carry his weight anymore. The next thing he noticed is because the tiger was leaning over trying to catch him, the backside of the tiger was rubbing against a tree, making it shake. And on the branch of that tree, overhanging the well, there was a bee's nest. No bees, but because it was shaking, honey started to drip out. And the man put out his tongue and tasted that honey and said, "Oh, that is so delicious." And that is the end of the story. That's a classic story of wisdom, because welcome to life. Can you not relate to that story? Sometimes it's like you've got a tiger above you, a snake underneath you. The black and white mice represent night and day, chewing away at your precarious hold of safety. And even though all this terrible stuff is happening, you can't hang on very longer, there's always honey dripping down somewhere. So always enjoy the honey. That's delicious. You got cancer, you're dying, you're the no money left, no place to stay, people, no job to do, arguing like between a tiger and a snake, and you don't know how long you can hold on. But don't forget to enjoy the honey.
There's always the pub.
The pub. Well, I don't know about the pub, but anyway. Right, don't get me onto pub jokes. Well, there's always the honey coming down. So enjoy the honey. Because no one ever knows what will happen next. Now, that is the classic story of just it stops, because that's your life. Your life hasn't finished yet. And sometimes it feels like this. But you must always enjoy the honey, because what happened next in my version of the story, the tiger leant over a little too far and fell in the well. Luckily, he missed the guy, but squashed the snake to death and broke its own neck. So the guy could just very casually, at his own leisure, just climb out of the well and just walk off. It could happen. And that's what happens in life. The unexpected happens, and you think there's no escape, and there we go, you do escape. So that is what life is. Between a snake and a tiger, well, you must always enjoy the honey. You don't know what's going to happen next. And sometimes it's the unexpected happens next, and you get stuck. So that is the story of your life. The ending, who knows? But the present moment, that is where you must enjoy the story. Always take the honey. Is it possible that some souls may enjoy trying to keep you in samsara, and that they may have followed you in previous lifetime, the intention of tempting you each time to stay in samsara? I mean, they're after you. Here's a nice story, because I was doing a wedding with Dennis on Saturday, and he does hypnotism, and he does this regression, taking people back into their past lives. He told one of his another weird stories. He's full of weird stories. That's why I like talking to him. Weird stuff is really nice. The weirder it is, the more I enjoy it. The funnier, more stupid it was. I mean, did you see those videos of that guy in Perth? He tried to rob a jewellery shop.
Yeah.
Remember, and he threw the brick at the sort of the window. And because those windows are all tough in these days, it didn't break the window, but the brick bounced back, hit him on the head. And that's where the police found him. Had the video camera there, so it was a big trouble. Bag sweat, it's like, that's karma. really stupid. But that's nothing compared to the guy in New York who tried to rob one of the convenience stores with a gun. And there's a woman on duty at the time, this was not on YouTube, it was just, I read the story. Pulled out a gun, emptied the contents of the cash register. So this woman didn't have any choice, so I emptied this young guy, and he filled his bag. And he also pointed on the shelf, I'll take a bottle of whiskey as well. And that's when this really sharp woman, she said, I'm sorry, sir, you're not old enough to have the whiskey. See, I am. He said, said New York, you have to be over 21. Said, I am over 21. He said, I'm sorry, I can't give you that whiskey unless you show me some ID to prove that. And this stupid robber got out his driving license. See, I'm over 21. And she had a look at it. Oh, I'm very sorry, sir, you are a 21. Please excuse me, and gave him the whiskey. And of course, you know what she did? As soon as she saw his ID, got his name and address, everything. So stupid people in this world. Anyway, they deserve to get caught. But thank you to that guy for giving me a big laugh when I read that story. Now, what's this one about? Okay.
What about the wedding?
Oh, the wedding, yeah, this is the guy, okay. And they regress this. This girl, first of all, and she actually remembered she was an editor in a newspaper in San Francisco a long time ago, and she got murdered. This guy came out from behind a column in some building or something and slashed her throat, and in this life she had a big scar, a birthmark around her throat.
Wow.
Amazing. But then the interesting thing was when they regressed her brother. And the brother remembered in his previous life he was a not very nice guy. And the worst thing he ever did was he jumped off from behind a column one day and he cut some girl's throat.
Oh.
Yes. You can't get away.
No.
So, came back again. So, yeah, sometimes we do follow each other around, but not to keep each other in samsara, keep each other in this world. Except, an important thing. Okay, good. Many of you, unfortunately, will be with your loved ones when they're about to die. This is not a joke, this is serious stuff. Because You'd be down there in the hospital, or the hospice. I was in the hospice last week. This Malaysian girl passed away. Really nice girl. No, she'd been meditating for a long time. She did really peacefully. Did it very, very, very well. And it reminded me, I told her and the family over in the hospice on South Street, Murdoch Hospice. It used to be St. John of God. They give it a new name now. I forget what it was. Anyway. In the hospice, I told them the story that years and years and years ago, there was this couple. He was an American guy married to an Australian girl. And she was a nurse. And he was only about in his late 30s. And he had this incredible business with his wife going white water rafting. And so he'd go to the most incredible, beautiful places in this world. And I'd taking, you know, people from Australia, you know, and doing white water rafting. And obviously that was his business, making money out of doing the thing he loved the most in his world. So, wonderful business. And unfortunately, you know, he got one of these terrible cancers which, you know, hit everybody. He was only in his mid-30s. And she was a Buddhist, came over to our centre. So, you know, she asked me to go and do some counselling for Steve. And I did counselling, and until he got to the point where, you know, he'd been with people with cancer, just this really fit, strong man. It's all skin and bones, just wasting away. But I was really concerned that he wasn't dying. He should have died. And I went there one day, and there he was, looking really, really weak. And I wondered what was happening, why he hadn't died the night before. And that's when I got my insight. I looked at Jenny, his wife. I said, Jenny, have you given your husband permission to die yet? And she never answered. She just jumped up on the bed, gave him this beautiful hug and kiss, looked in his eyes and said, Steve, it's okay, you can go now. You've had a wonderful life together. I let you go, you can die. And that night he died. He needed that permission.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you can imagine, if that was you, there's something deep inside you, the love you have, you know, for your family, you know, for the people you love the most. The last thing you want to do is to hurt them by dying. So, once you've got permission to die, or you give them permission, you can go, it's okay, Mum, it's okay, Dad. You know, we all have to die one day. You've tried your very best to stay alive for us. No more. We want you to be free. And it's amazing how powerful that is, how it works again and again and again.
Yeah.
You let the person go. Otherwise, they stay around day after day
and suffering.
Really suffering because they don't want to go because they feel they're hurting you. You're just prolonging the inevitable and causing a lot of pain and suffering. So it's great to let people go. And sometimes even something more amazing happens, because this is another anecdote about one of my friends who was a monk. He went to Oxford. He was a Rhodes Scholar from Tennessee. He used to have this incredible, beautiful accent. Hi, y'all. I can't do it. That's the best I try. And just to listen to him speak, had this really good, you know, Tennessee accent. And he also went to Oxford, Rhodes Scholar. He was a champion wrestler. And he got this terrible disease in Thailand. Two types of typhoid. And eventually they found out it was like Crohn's disease. Really debilitating. So we sent him over to our monastery in England because we thought, you know, he'd get better treatment over there. For years, he was so sick, he would be bedridden. And I went to go and see him once. I had him in the attic. Because in England, you put all the sick and crazy people up in the attic somewhere. Lock them away. But, you know, I went up to visit him. It was just so depressing. This poor guy, on a good day, he could get to the door. And then he felt so weak, he just crawled back into bed again. For a couple of years he was like this. Never been able to get out, feeling just like death, but not dying. And then this monk sort of had this, again, great insight. He went up to the room and said, listen. He said, on behalf of all the monks and nuns, all the people you love and who love you and care for you, I come up here to give you permission to die. You don't need to keep alive for us. And this really tough, brilliant man, he started crying and crying and crying, wept his eyes out, because he was trying so hard to get better. because people had invested so much money and time trying to get him better, and he wasn't succeeding. That really messed him up. And then once he gave himself permission to die, that was about, wasn't that something about 30 years ago now, still alive. He got better from that time on.
Oh, wow.
He didn't stay as a monk. Eventually, he lives in South Africa now. But as soon as he had permission to die, he relaxed. He wasn't trying so hard to get better. And his sickness started to improve from that time on. And now he's totally recovered. So, if you give people permission to die, you may have to put up with them for quite a long time. Okay, enough. So thank you for those questions. I hope you enjoyed the answers.
Can I just ask you, what's the Buddhist view on suicide?
On suicide?
Just a quick...
Quick one. Yes, quick. Do it properly. In other words, if you kill your body, you just get born again, you get reincarnated again. Same problem, same again. So if you really can do it, just kill the right thing. Kill all of the fear and the worry and the problems. Kill all the negativity. That's the thing we should kill. So when you kill the negativity, instead of your body, the mind is really peaceful. If I live, if I die, I'm so happy and peaceful, it doesn't really matter. Let's kill the right thing.
No more magic.
Okay.
Alright, thank you Ashan Brown for all your stories, and we'll never peel bananas in the same way.
Yeah, obviously give it a try, it's much easier.
Yeah.
All these years, so at least you learned something here. Maybe not how to meditate or any wisdom, but at least you've learned how. When you go home and say, what did you learn of this meditation? I learned how to peel bananas. Yeah. Something, I suppose.
So thank you for coming to Armadale. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and teaching.
Cool bananas.
Telling us stories. We didn't get a lot of jokes.
I gave you a couple. Maybe the one about the... I did tell you the one which sometimes I make up jokes. Did I tell you the one because it's kids keep asking me for jokes about what? I think I told you this one. What animal recently won one of the most popular TV talent shows? And why? I will tell you which animal it was. It was a chicken. A chicken won one of the most famous TV talent shows. Which talent show was it? The X Factor.
Perfect.
Well, you asked for it. She did ask for it. Don't blame me. Blame her. She asked me to. She encourages me.